probably just go home now.
No, you got me crying. You gotta
I got my tissue. I'll be crying here probably. What a wonderful couple of days that we've had. I am just blessed to be in the midst of you all. I'm honored to follow such seasoned pastors that have been preaching a long time and have loved all of us and loved me. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your presence here tonight. Please open our hearts and our minds to the things that you need us to hear and the ways that we might change to glorify you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you this day. Amen. Amen. Well, you may have seen the movie The Shawshank Redemption, which came out the year I graduated, which was just a few years ago in 1994. I'm going to move over here a little bit. It's one of my favorite movies. It is rated R. It's a prison movie. It's pretty graphic, but it's a great story. And it's set in 1947. And the main character, Andy, played by Tim Robbins, is accused of murder, of murdering two people. And he's found guilty, and he receives two life sentences. And he's sent to Shawshank, which is a very harsh prison. The other main character, Red, is played by Morgan Freeman, and he has spent most of his life at Shawshank, and the two meet, and they quickly become friends. The thing about Andy, though, he didn't commit the murders, so he's been sent to prison, but he's innocent. So you can imagine that life in prison is pretty horrific, and Andy has a very difficult time there. He was a banker before he was incarcerated, and he used those gifts to help the guards do their taxes. He even helped the warden keep the books, and the warden was a crooked man. He established a library. He helped many other people get their GED. So he did many fine things while he was in prison. It gave him some normalcy. He refused to be defined by his incarceration. Now, Andy has spent almost 20 years in prison when he and Red have this unusual conversation. And he ends it with, it comes down to a simple choice, really. Get busy living or get busy dying. Now, Red went back and told some of the other guys that Andy was acting strange and he was worried that he might hurt himself. He thought his time in prison had finally gotten the better of him. What no one realized was for the last 20 years, Andy had been planning his escape. And now it was time to execute his plan. Andy made the decision to get busy living. Now I ask you the question, are you busy living or are you busy dying? How are you living your life? What are the things that you are doing? Who are you spending your time with? Are you living with a purpose? Are you living to please yourself? There are many answers. There are many ways to answer these questions. But I'm going to get personal. Are you living for God? Or are you living without Him? The world we live in says, the sky's the limit. Live it up. Do whatever makes you happy, no matter the cost. And we see that every day on the TV, don't we? And we do have the right to live any way that we choose, within the parameters of the law, of course. But what does God say? Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. I believe that everything God created has a purpose, except for ticks and lice. I do not understand their purpose. But trees have purpose. They prevent erosion. They provide a weather-sheltered ecosystem in and under their foliage. Trees produce oxygen and reduce carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, as well as moderate ground temperatures. You didn't know I was a science expert. Water has purpose. We need water to live. The earth needs water. In fact, 3/4 of the earth is made up of water. In the oceans, water brings nutrients and life. And water in the ocean also helps keep the world temperature at a normal level. Trees and water, they benefit us. If those things have purpose, wouldn't we have purpose? Especially since we're created in the image of God? The word purpose is defined as the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. I think having purpose means that you benefit others, not just yourself. The things that we say and the things that we do should benefit others. If we just live for ourselves, if we just do whatever makes us happy, how does that affect the people around us? We're going back to the tick for just a minute. The tick, it latches on. It takes what it needs from us, and then it leaves a nasty place on our skin and can even cause serious health problems. It does nothing to benefit us. Is that how we want to live our lives? Take all that we can from others and leave them with scars and heartache? The theme of our revival has been, what a glory he sheds on our way. This line is found in the first verse of the song, Trust and Obey, found in our hymnal, and we actually just sung it a few weeks ago. Verse 1 says, this is beautiful, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Isn't that beautiful? It made me think about what Jesus says in John 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And you heard me read the scripture earlier from Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. No one light, a city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one lighting a lamp puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all in the house. We are the light of the world. We have a purpose. If we're busy living, then our light is shining so that those who are in darkness can see. If we're busy dying, then we've put our light under the bushel basket. As a young girl, I was introduced to a man named Jesus. I learned about this simple man in my home. I learned about this simple man in this church. A man who changed the whole world in a very short period of time. I learned to walk with him. I learned to talk with him. And I realized that I never wanted to be without him. I am forever changed by this man, Jesus. I look back over my life and I realize what a glory he shed on my way. When my mother died, when I graduated high school, in college, when I got married, when I had my beautiful daughter, Anita, when I started working here, when my marriage crumbled, when my marriage was rebuilt, when my dad died, and when I moved to the mountains in a far-off land, And even now as I stand before you on my journey to becoming a pastor, all of these moments, God has been there. And oh, what a glory he sheds on my way. When my dad died, I wasn't ready to let him go. I was in darkness, and I put my light under the bushel basket. But I soon realized that this life is short. There are things to do. Both of my parents were only here for a little while. When they started out together, they didn't know what their life would be like, how long that they would have. So they got busy living. They worked hard. They enjoyed their time with their friends and their family. They enjoyed their time serving here in this church and in this community. They let their light shine. My mother died at the age of 49. And in those last few months of her life, her body was busy dying. Oh, but her mind and her soul, they were busy living. She was full of faith and love for her Savior, and she shared that with everyone she encountered. She was the light of my world and to everyone else who knew her. As this church celebrates its anniversary, I see a church who has been the light in this community for 139 years. It doesn't matter where we worship, whether it's in a wash house, amen, or whether it's in a grocery store. Amen. It just matters that we worship. This church is busy living, bringing light to those in the darkness. We are sometimes asked, if we only had one more day, what would we do? How would we spend it? I ask you that now. Will you spend your last day helping others, telling your loved ones how much that you love them and how much they mean to you? Will you spend the day praising and thanking God for all that he has done? Will you make sure your light is on the lampstand for all to see? Will you be busy living? Or perhaps you will spend your last day complaining that you didn't have long enough. Will you spend your last day a slave to sin? Will you hide your light under the bushel basket? Will you be busy dying? In a final conversation that Andy and Red have, Andy talks about a place in the middle of a hayfield in the middle of nowhere, where he proposed to his wife a long time ago. And he tells Red that he has something for him, that when he's paroled, he wants him to go there and find what he left. So about a year or so after Andy escapes from prison, Red makes the journey to the middle of nowhere. And Andy leaves him a note. And part of what that note said was, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things. And no good thing ever dies. Andy had hope. He was in prison for something he didn't do, but he never gave up hope. He helped others, and he made the best of his situation. He did not let his grim reality overcome him. His hope shed light on his way. The God who created us, who loves us, who forgives us, and wants the best for us, is a good God. Because he sent his son to die for us, we have hope. This is our last night of revival, but it doesn't have to be. We can take this and we can take it into the next day and the next day and the next day. Revival is defined as an improvement in the condition or strength of something, an instance of something becoming popular, active, or important again. We are here because God is still important. We can quickly set him aside when we think we don't need him. We will read a self-help book to fix our problem instead of going to the Bible and letting God reveal the answer. We will complain instead of pray. We will hide our light instead of putting it on the lampstand. Will you make God important again? Will you put God first? Will you carry his word with you? Will you see the needs of others before your own? Will you spend each day as if it was your last, letting your light shine for others? Will you give thanks for the glory that he sheds on your way? Putting God first doesn't mean we don't get to do all the fun things we like to do. It means that we allow God to transform us, learn his will for our lives. Our purpose becomes clear, and when we become who he created us to be, then the sky is the limit. Then we are truly living and will experience joy and peace like we have never known. Now is the time. Now is the time to know this man, Jesus. Now is the time to let his light shine in your life. To let him free you from your sins. If you don't know this man, Jesus, I would love to introduce you. And maybe you know Jesus, and maybe you've known Jesus longer than I have. But maybe during this journey, your light has gone dim. The altar is here. All you have to do is come. It's a simple choice, really. Get busy living or get busy dying. And everyone said, Amen.
I was thinking about Sean talking about going up into the mountains. Moses went up into the mountains and he came back and his hair was all white. You remember that? He didn't color his hair. There you go. You know, Shauna is going through the process, and by June of next year, she will be licensed. One of our bishops used to always remind us, especially the clergy, he'd say, you know that everybody in your church is ordained. Your ordination is in your baptism. You were ordained to do the work of a minister of Jesus Christ. And so she has been a minister of Jesus Christ for a long, long time. And as far as I'm concerned, and I think Ed would, I hope you would agree with this, Ed, or you may report me to the bishop, I would vote right now to license you right today.
Amen.
And all too. But us Methodists, we have our methods, so we're going to go through that. But thank you so much, and I know that many hearts are just not only warm tonight, but excited for what is to come. And what I want to do is to invite you anytime during the week. The daycare is usually here. Shauna's down in the office a lot of the time. If you come and want to come and pray at the altar, I would invite for you to come and to pray for Shauna as she goes through that process. Take some time one day and come and do that for her. And then pray for the next Shauna or the next Ed or the next whoever it may be that God is calling to walk in those footsteps, because today, you know, we're looking at the future of the church, and God has a future in store for us. We just don't always see it, but he does. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this night, and we thank you for the gifts of your Holy Spirit that we have seen, not just in Shauna, but in our accompanists, in our choir, and our choir director. Father, in the hearts out here that are filled with your Spirit and filled with love for you. And we just pray that as we go forward and as a church out into the community and into the world, that we would continue to take the light of Christ with us, that we would get busy living, Father, and not consign ourselves to dying, as it seems so many churches today only see bleakness ahead of them. But Lord, we know that there is a glorious way ahead of us. What a glory you shed on our way. And so, Father, this evening we give you thanks for every good thing. And we pray, O Lord, that as we follow your Son, Jesus Christ, as we walk in his steps, that we would shine with the glory of heaven. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above all names, the precious name by which all must be saved. And amen.